In this quick discussion, we want to help you to understand two-factor authentication, what it is and why it's critical, and why it's not actually as complicated as it sounds.
Right. So we all know this is Robbie.
Hi.
So Robbie, what's your password?
My password, Jeff. Should I really tell you?
Yeah, you have to.
Winston 2075. Really, really easy for me to remember because Winston is the name of my beloved cat who left us a year ago.
I remember Winston. He was a good cat. But I don't get the 2075.
2075. Well, that clearly, Jeff, is the year of the Linux desktop.
Oh, clearly.
Oh, burn.
Well, I guess that makes perfect sense.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So now that, you know, our viewers of the show, you and I, we all know each other. If we kind of walked down the street, we see each other, I would say, hey, I'm Robbie.
What?
Yeah. 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 I'd say I'm the bald nerd. And you'd say, I don't think so. And I'd say, but really I am. My password is Winston 2075, which obviously is correct.
Right.
Yeah.
How do you know this?
But you still don't believe that I'm Robbie. So there's one thing that I didn't think of, and that's the fact that you know what Robbie looks like, and you know that clearly I'm not him.
I couldn't grow a beard like that if I tried. When you sign into your online account, you've got typically a username and a password, right?
Right.
So that's basically so that the server can tell that it is you that is logging in.
Right.
Your username is often something that is publicly accessible. So that could be your email address, or in my case, like it could be Bald Nerd, right? So that username is not something that is a security factor whatsoever.
Of course.
Anyone can get that. So anyone who knows your password can say, okay, well, my username is Bald Nerd and my password is Winston 2075.
Right.
So now they can access your account because those are the only factors that you have, basically just the password.
Right.
The plot thickens if you've got the same password on other services as well.
Which so many people do.
Uh-huh.
Don't do that.
Yeah. And that's why we say do not have the same password on other services, because if you get compromised on one, you're now compromised on other, but on others. But the other thing is that let's say they're able to get into your email.
Yes.
Something like that, right? So now, all of a sudden, they can go on to other sites, your online banking and things like that, and they can click on Forgot Password, and they're going to be able to reset your password and gain access to those services as well. So with the username and password combination, the server itself, so the connecting server, whether it's like your online banking or Twitter or Facebook or whatever it is you're logging into, it has no way of actually verifying that the person who's logging in is in fact you.
Right. Yeah.
They know the username and password, and so they are given access, right? So two-factor authentication, sometimes called multi-factor authentication, it can be intimidating. It can sound kind of complicated, but really, it's just a way for the online server to recognize that when someone is logging in as you, that it is, in fact, you.
You, right.
So the server is able to say, yeah, that's the right password, but I know Robbie, and you're not him.
Right. Okay, so then how do we do that? And really, it comes down to that the easiest way is something like this. Something you already own, your smartphone.
Right. How many of us have a smartphone sitting in our pocket right now?
Exactly.
So you might be watching the show on your smartphone. You've got it on you all the time.
That's right. That is probably my wife's biggest complaint about me. Is that it's literally on me all the time.
But that's convenient when it comes to this.
Absolutely security. It is. Because right. Even though somebody might be able to obtain your password and your email, because that's not really impossible, it's a lot harder and less likely that they're going to have physical access to your phone.
Mm-hmm.
So with two-factor authentication enabled, once you enter your password and your login for the account, you'll be prompted to obtain and enter a code from your phone. Could it come in through text or, you know, maybe through an app, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, your phone becomes that second factor in the authentication process, which makes it two-factor authentication. So it's not really as complicated as it sounds.
Online services such as Google Drive,
yep.
Gmail is part of that. We talk about Amazon and AWS.
That's right. Yep.
Twitter, Facebook, your online banking, they all support multi-factor authentication. So you want to look online and check your settings and see if you can set that up. And if you're having trouble finding the way to set up multi-factor authentication, just reach out to the service provider, yep. and they'll be able to give you help.
Yes.
It's a really, like, it's not the end-all, be-all solution.
That's
correct. But it's an excellent way for you to better secure your account so that as somebody else tries to access your account with your username and password, if they ever get it from a phishing scam or by a man-in-the-middle attack or something along those lines, well, they're not going to be able to access your account because they don't have your phone.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a really, really smart thing to have.
And one of the things, because I've run into the two-factor authentication with my kids.
Yeah.
When we upgrade our phones, we'll hand our old phones to them. It's
yep.
their gaming device, their whatever. But because there's no longer a phone number attached to it, sometimes with some of their services, every once in a while, it's going to want a phone number. Mm-hmm. And so for the longest time, I was giving them my cell phone.
Oh.
So I'll be at work and all of a sudden I get a bloop. And it's,
you're trying to log in.
Here's your code. And I was like, oh, yeah. I got to call one of them.
Right.
Now, obviously, you know, you have to look for the services that you're going to enable this road that I'm about to mention. But I found a service, like an application that gives you a digital phone number where it will then come through to your phone, even though you don't actually have cell phone service. So you don't, my kids don't have a physical phone number, but they have a service on their phones.
Like SMS.
Yeah. So they can get text messages
cool.
to a phone number. So now they can put in their own two-factor authentication.
Right.
Now, if you're going to go down that road, because maybe you don't have a phone, but you've just got a tablet or something. If you go down that road, make sure that what you're using is a trusted source.
Sure.
Because otherwise, an untrusted source is going to have that number.
Yeah, they might be able to do a man in the middle on your SMS.
That's right. And you don't want to do that. So you want to pay attention to the sources you use. And in our case, it was Magic Jack.
Okay.
Because you can get a Magic Jack phone number for free, a US number. Mm-hmm. So that's what we used.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. And just Magic Jack is trustworthy. We've been using them for, 15 years now.
Wow.
So, cool. You know, now my kids have the Magic Jack app and they put mm-hmm. a phone number in and
interesting. Okay, so I've taken a different approach and I use the Google Authenticator app.
Okay, so you've gone the app route.
Yeah, and so with that app, it uses what's called OTP or one-time password.
Yep.
So when I log into any of my two-factor authentication enabled services, it then prompts me for my multi-factor authentication code, my OTP.
Oh, okay.
So then I bring up the app and it shows me a one-time password that I now need to enter into that service in order to access it. Which has the same effect of, okay, well, I don't need to have them texting me.
Right.
I don't have to worry about that man-in-the-middle attack. There's so many different ways to set up two-factor authentication.
Yeah, there really is.
But really what it boils down to is just the fact that somebody is not going to have access to the SMS messages going to your child.
Yeah.
Somebody's not going to have access to my phone with that authenticator app. So it's just finding one that works for you
yep.
and setting it up so that you've got that multi-factor authentication so that you're protected. Because really, I mean, these days, wow, it's incredible how many phishing scams are out there.
Yeah.
I get emails, just to put it into perspective, I get emails that appear to be from my boss, okay?
Oh.
From my employer with links
yep.
to click here and enter my info. And these are called spear really? Phishing
yeah.
scams. So these are some hacker or somebody is trying to gain access to my account. And so they've researched me and they've learned about me and they've learned about who my employer is to the point where they can now send me an email masking and pretending to be
wow.
my employer and saying, hey, click here. So when you put that into the perspective of an auto shop and
yeah.
the service technician gets an email from the boss and maybe is not as
security conscious?
Well, security conscious, but also just like, I know what to look for.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, so I know, okay, well, this is definitely not coming from my boss, and I'll look at the email headers and things like that because I understand them.
Yeah.
But what if that, and just using the shop technician as an example, okay, what if they fell for it? What if the accountant opened that fake invoice that gave them access to the username and password for their email? Again, they can use that, the hacker can use that to then gain access to other accounts because they can do forgot password.
That's right.
Or they can send email as that user and take it even further. And this is how ransomware happens and things like that.
It's true.
So spear phishing is where they learn enough about you or your company to be able to make it look completely legitimate. And that happens a lot. So what happens if that shop technician falls for it and gives out their username and password? Well, if they have two-factor authentication enabled on their accounts, yes, the spear phishing attack has now got your username and password. However, when they try to access it, it's going to prompt for that two-factor authentication. So in the SMS example, the shop technician is now going to receive a text.
Yes.
And they're going to say, well, I didn't request a login.
That's right.
Huh, that's weird. Yeah. Or in my case, it's never even going to, I'm never even going to know about it because they're just going to be notified that they need to enter their one-time password.
That's right.
And they're not going to have it because they don't have my phone.
That's right.
So some food for thought when you're thinking about two-factor authentication, multi-factor authentication, just set it up. It is absolutely required these days. You got to stay safe.
And really, there's no excuse not to.
Really isn't. We all have a phone in our pocket, Jeff.
It's true.
And if you don't, for some crazy reason.
There's an app for that.
There's an app for that. There are ways. You'll find it out. And that's why I say talk to your service provider because they will tell you the various ways that you can set up multi-factor authentication. Yep.